Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. God is the source of all light. So when Jesus calls us the light of the world, he meant that we reflect the light of God in a world of darkness and sin. But God is the source. In today's reading, Isaiah says that God's glory will rise upon his people, and they will arise and shine in the world and will attract others out of the darkness. So grab your Bible, turn it to Isaiah chapter 60, and prepare your heart and mind as we heed the words of Isaiah to arise and shine. Now, please take out the Bibles that you brought with you or the ones in the pews and turn in them with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60 is found on page 690 of the Old Testament if you're using the Pew Bible. This is a new year, but it's not a new church year. We began the church year on the first Sunday of Advent. That's the first of the church year. Today on the church calendar, we come to a time called Epiphany. Epiphany actually occurs on the sixth day of January, but this is Epiphany Sunday. How many of you know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Did you know that there actually are 12 days in Christmas? It's Christmas isn't just one day. It's 12 days. And the 12th day is Epiphany. That's the sixth of January, and that's when we then can take down our Christmas trees and everything else. But, you know, Epiphany Sunday is the Sunday when we gather together and we talk about the wise men. But today's reading is from Isaiah. And you might ask yourself why, and we'll get to that. But let's hear from the word of the Lord for us today. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise! Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a teenager, I used to hang out with my cousins in Commercial Township, Laurel Lake area. And one thing that we used to love to do was go out at night and drive on Buckshootum Road, and we would go deer spotting. And you'd think that deer spotting isn't something you do at night. How are you going to see the deer? Obviously, you see one if it's in your headlights. But we would go out deer spotting. We'd pull up on the side of a field where there would be, you know, grass or whatever in that big field. And then we'd take this big spotlight that had a handle on it. My cousin would plug it into the cigarette lighter on his car. And he would shine it into the field. And you could tell where the deer were because you could see their eyes glowing. They were reflecting the light back to us. And so we would go out and we'd spot the deer that way. There wasn't anything to do about it. It was fun seeing a deer, I guess, in the field. But it got me to thinking about this particular passage, that we aren't light ourselves. Jesus called us the light of the world, but we reflect the glory of God's light. In this particular passage, Isaiah says, arise, Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He was speaking to the people of Jerusalem. And he was speaking to the Israelites of that time, who had been exiled from Israel, who had been exiled from Judah, because they were unfaithful to God. But he was saying, you will be restored. You will be restored. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Your time has come. You will be restored. You can rise up. You can shine. You can shine with the light of God. He says, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. In other words, it's not our light. It's not our glory that shines. God calls us to arise and shine, but he provides that light. It's his glory that rises over us. He says, nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. In the darkness, aren't we all attracted to the things that are light? You know, when we are going from a dark place, we want to seek places where there is light. Because then we can see, then we don't stumble in the darkness. Moths are drawn to lights, and insects are drawn to lights at night, and we are the same way. We're drawn to the light. So he says, because of your light, nations will come to you. And indeed, if you look at modern day Jerusalem, you can see how the nations are attracted to this city. I mean, it's not, there's nothing really remarkable about it. It sits on a mountain. It doesn't have a river that flows through it. There's not a body of water around it. It's not a port town. Why is Jerusalem, of all places, so important to so many people? You know, it's divided into four quarters. It's divided into the Christian quarter and the Jewish quarter and the Muslim quarter and the Palestinian quarter. And all of those quarters, none of them want to relinquish their part. None of them want to give up their part of Jerusalem. It's interesting to me that this city, that it's not a port city, it's not a place where of great importance, but all throughout history, and you read about it in the Bible, it is a city that was contested over and fought for and sought after. Why? Because it is the city where we come to find God. It is the city where God said, I will place my name there. I will place my name there. He says, nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. When Jerusalem was restored, certainly people came there, and over it was conquered, and it was defeated, and it was vanquished, but it was always taken over by somebody who wanted it for a particular reason. The Muslims took it in the 800s, in the 8th century rather. And the Christians fought for it in the Crusades. And all throughout history, even today, there's still struggle. You know, the Muslims have built their Dome of the Rock, their great mosque with the golden dome on top, is sitting pretty much right where Solomon's temple once stood. And it's a point of great contention. Even the Jews still go to the Western Wall, the last remaining part of the Temple Mount, and they pray at that place because they know that their prayers will be heard, because God has promised that if my people who were called by my name, he said, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land and I will forgive their sin. It's a great promise that God has offered to us, and he's restoring his people. He says, lift up your eyes and look all around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. The people of Israel are now being restored. He says, then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because of the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. So much goes on in that little city of Jerusalem. that city of Jerusalem, which is still to this day, thousands of years later, still is a place where the nations are drawn. Finally, he says, a multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. People from the east will come. They'll bring gold. They'll bring incense. And what does that sound like to you? It sounds to me an awful lot like what happened at the birth of the Christ child. And where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem, yes, but Bethlehem was only a short distance from Jerusalem. And in fact, where was he hung? He was hung in Jerusalem. And he was buried in Jerusalem. And he ascended into heaven. He rose from the dead. You know, so many great things that we are celebrating over this Christmas time is this light. Why do we have lights in the trees? They signify the light of Christ. You know, why do we have candles burning? They signify the light of Christ, the light of God. And we are reflections of that light. Just like the deer in the field, when we shone that spotlight into the field and their eyes reflected back, we could see them. We're the same way. We reflect the light of God. The light of God is a very powerful light. And we reflect a little part of it, but people can see that light in the darkness. They know there's something different about us. They know that there is something peculiar about this people called Christians. And that is who we are. We are called to be little Christs. This is what Christian means. Little Christs. We are small reflections of that light. But with greater faith comes greater reflection. Do we walk in darkness? Is our world dark? We often talk about a world of darkness. We talk about a world of bleakness. Look at what's going on around us. People fighting in the streets. All the tension, the racial tension that we're feeling right now between the people and the police, and the police and the mayor of New York City. You know, there's so much going on. All around the world, there are people blowing themselves up in the name of God. How is that not darkness? Darkness is any time we see it, there's an absence of light. Darkness is not a thing. But we know darkness can be complete when God's light is completely removed. Have you ever gone into a cave? Have you ever gone deep down into a cave, like Carlsbad Caverns or Crystal Caverns or something like that? They love to take people all the way down, and then they turn off the light. And when they turn off the light, the darkness is so complete. It's so, you literally can't see your hand in front of your face. There is no light, absolutely no light at all. But the darkness isn't a thing. It's an absence of the light. If we were to turn off the lights in here, there's still some light coming in the windows. There's still light. It would be darker in here, but it wouldn't be complete darkness. But the absence of God is complete darkness. That's why in one of the plagues of Egypt was a darkness that could be felt. A darkness that could be felt, kind of like that darkness of the cave where people couldn't see each other. God removed His light. And what happened? There was complete and utter darkness. Here the people of darkness have seen a great light. You know, Jesus came to be the light of the world. And His light shines in this darkness. But what is our light? I look around, I look at this church, I see what we have done in the past year. What have we accomplished in the past year? I mean, if you look at our attendance, you can see we've made a lot of progress. You know, obviously we weren't here that week, it snowed. But what is our light? What have we accomplished? We have a new ministry in this church. We have a women's ministry, United Methodist Women. women gathering together to do ministry together, to do things, to reach out into the community and to be a service organization that represents this church and this body. We also have a Bible study. We have a Bible study that meets on Monday nights, and there have been a lot of really great conversations, searching through the scriptures and looking in and diving deep into God's word and getting closer to God through the word that he speaks to us. All throughout the year we have done made collections. Every month we have a mission project. We have we've collected food for the needy. We've collected clothes for shelters. We collected Christmas items for two families that were in need. We have been supporting the Rambos, who are missionaries who go to Uganda and to Congo to raise up other preachers, to raise up Congolese preachers, to instruct them on the ways of Christ. And all these things are possible because we have God's light and we reflect God's light. I think about a young man who came to this church back in April. This young man who came to this church and was detoxing off of heroin and was in a really bad state. And we helped to get him into a treatment program in Arizona. And he's returned to the state. He's been clean now for 8 months. It's because of our light. Because our light, he came to us. Our light attracted him out of the darkness. We've done a lot in the last year. But the question shouldn't be, you know, how great have we been? But what more can we do in the year ahead? What can we do in the coming year? How can we be the light of God? How can we reflect God's light even more than we are right now? What can we do to be a part of this community, to be a vital part of this community, to be a beacon of light where people in darkness will come to find Christ? What more can we do in the year ahead? We need a bold vision. We need a faithful vision. We need a vision that goes beyond what we can do, because God is in it. Because we reflect God's light, and God will shine greater when we reflect more. God has called us to arise. God has called us to shine. In darkness, our light is very bright. And people in darkness are drawn to light. Let us, as a church, shine bright before the world for Christ. And ask yourselves, what more can we be doing? How else can God use us? The writer of Hebrews tells us, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Are we entertaining angels? Are we shining as bright as God's glory can shine? I believe with all my heart that God has great things in mind for this church and for this community. It is up to us to arise, to shine, and to let God use us as a beacon of light in the darkness. Open yourselves to God's calling. Step out in faith and obedience. Arise. Shine. Let us pray. O Lord, our God Almighty, you are our King, and we submit ourselves to you. You have used us mightily in the past year, but we know that greater things are ahead. We submit ourselves to you. We give our lives to you as you gave your life for us on the cross. We hold nothing back. Speak to us, Lord, in the stillness. Let our hearts be transformed and reformed in your image. Take our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh so that we might be the people you call us to be. Let us shine in this world of darkness so that your glory will be revealed and all people would be your people. Through Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, it's hard to believe, but the Lenten season is already upon us, and we have some exciting worship opportunities we'd like to share with you. Our Ash Wednesday service will be held at Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn at 7 p.m. on February 18th. And every Wednesday night during Lent, we will be participating in the Community Lenten Series at Union Presbyterian Church in Carneys Point. Each Wednesday, we will gather for soup and fellowship at 6 p.m. Then at 7 p.m., we will have a short devotional based on the Psalms. The promise is to be an edifying and uplifting time, so come on out and join us. And if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.